Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, hope nobody walks out. There's no presentation today. I'm giving class for Sura. He had to leave at the last minute to go somewhere. Okay, so today's class is Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 5, Durvasa Muni's Life Spared. So, these are the last two verses of the chapter. So, it's kind of nice. I gave the first verse of the chapter class last time, and now I'm giving the last verse. So, looks like he has the verse up. Iti etat punyam akyanam. Iti etat punyam akyanam. Ambarishasya Bhupate, Ambarishasya Bhupate, Sankirtanyan, Anudyanayan, Sankirtayan, Anudyayan, Bhakto, Bhagavato, Bhavet, Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Iti etat punyam akyanam. Ambarishase bhupate. Sankirtayan anudyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Iti etat punyam akyanam. Ambarishasya bhupate. Sankirtayan anudyanyan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Ambarishasya bhupate. Sankirtanam jayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Diyaktya punyam akyanam. Anilishasya bhupate. Sankirtanam tanudyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Iti tat punyam akyanam. Chabupate. Sankirtayanam anudyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Iti tat punyam akyanam. Ambarishasya bhupate. Sankirtayan anudyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Vaishnavis. Ityetat punyam akyanam. Ambarishasya bhupate. Sankirtanyad anuyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Iti etat punyam akyanam. Ambarishasya bhupate. Sankirtayan anuyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Ityetat Punyam Akhyanam. Ambarishasya Bhupate. Sankirtayana Nudyayan. Bhakto Bhagavato Bhavet. Iti. Thus. Etat. This. Punya Akhyanam. Most pious activity in history. Ambarishasya. Of Maharaj Ambarish. Bhupate. O King. Maharaj Parikshit. Sankirtayan. By chanting, repeating. Anudyayan. Or by meditating upon. Bhakta. A devotee. Bhagavata. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavet. One can become. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Anyone who chants this narration, or even thinks of this narration, about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish, certainly becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Please repeat. Anyone who chants this narration, or even thinks of this narration, about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish, certainly becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Purport. Srila Vishnavath Chakravarti Thakur herein gives a very good example. When one is very eager for more and more money, he is not satisfied even when he is a millionaire or a multi-millionaire. He wants to earn more and more money by any means. The same mentality is present in a devotee. The devotee is never satisfied, thinking, "This is the limit of my devotional service." The more he engages in the service of the Lord, the more service he wants to give. This is the position of a devotee. Maharaj Ambarish, in his family life, was certainly a pure devotee, complete in every respect, because his mind and all his senses were engaged in devotional service. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikunta gunanuvarnane. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.18. Maharaj Ambarish was self-satisfied because all of his senses were engaged in devotional service. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam harishikena harishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchate. That's from the CC 19.170. Nonetheless, although Maharaj Ambarish had engaged all his senses in devotional service, he left his home and went to the forest to concentrate his mind fully at the lotus feet of Krishna. Exactly as a mercantile man, even though complete in wealth, tries to earn more and more. This mentality of getting more and more engaged in devotional service puts one in the most exalted position. Whereas on the karma platform, the mercantile man who wants more and more money becomes increasingly bound and entangled. The devotee becomes increasingly liberated. What's that noise? Something in the background. So let's do text number 28. Ambarishasya charitam ye shrinvanti mahatmanaha muktim prayanti te sarve bhaktya vishnu prasadi data. Translation. By the grace of the Lord, those who hear about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish the great devotee certainly becomes liberated or becomes devotees without delay. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Durvasa Muni's Life Spared. Om Gyanat Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitamena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Svabhanadikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Verses again. Anyone who chants this narration or even thinks of this narration about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish certainly becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. By the mercy or by the grace of the Lord, those who hear about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish, the great devotee, certainly becomes liberated or becomes devotees without delay. Wow, what a benediction. So we just wound up the pastime with Maharaj Ambarish. What a great devotee. I mean, the thing that really sticks in my mind about him is that here he is performing pious activities and very serious about these pious activities, whereas he wanted to perform it perfectly. In fact, he didn't want to miss the breakfast so that he will miss out on all the effects of all this. Otherwise, what's the use of doing all that austerity for no purpose? So he consulted, and he didn't want to offend Durvasa Muni, so he sipped a little water to break the fast and not break the fast to get the benefits. So just to show a selfless devotee, it's not like he was really interested in getting these benefits for himself. In fact, it's proven because after Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, he went all the way to the spiritual world, and Vishnu told him that you have to go to Maharaj Ambarish without delay, and you better pay your full dandabats and beg him for his mercy. So that's what he did. And during that whole time, a year passed by, Maharaj Ambarish didn't even take any food. He just fasted on water, expecting Durvasa Muni to come back and take his meal. Can you believe that? So when he comes back, he offers him nice prasadam. But before that, he prayed to the Sudarshan Chakra that whatever currency that I have gained by these pious activities, because pious activities is like currency, you can trade it off for something, you get benefits, or you could offer it to others. So what he did is he prayed to Sudarshan Chakra and he said, if there's any pious benefit on my behalf, I'm offering it that to you so that this Durvasa Muni can be spared. So all those pious activities that he performed, he just gave it away. So this king must have something more than that pious currency. So what is it? And we could see in his life, you know, more, more, more. In fact, in the mature world, more is better, right? We want more. We want more. In fact, there's commercials like that. You know, this adult is coming amidst these kids in a classroom and is asking them, what is better, more or less? And the little girl says, we want more, we want more, because if we have more, then it's better, then it's more, but there's not enough, and our parents want, you know, may not have enough, so but we still want more, we want more, we want more. So just go on and on. But what's the result of all this more in the mature world? As it's described in the purport, you know, if you're a materialist, then all it brings is trouble. In fact, you could try to enjoy more and more, but there's a limit, right? I could give you some of that special halava that's made with cream cheese on Sunday. Isn't that the best? So you can have a bowl, and you're going to be completely, that's so good. I'll give you another bowl. Yeah, sure, why not? Then the third bowl, no, I don't think so. So it just becomes satiated, right? You can only have so much, and then you're done. That's the problem in the mature world. You can't really get more, more, more. It just causes misery, and it's satiated. But in the spiritual world, you can get more and more and more and more. And we could see that in the life of Maharaj Ambarish. He had everything materially. He was the king. And he was the most powerful king. He had the greatest protection. He had the personal weapon of Krishna, the Sudarshan Chakra, at his side. It was a gift. And he used that. He didn't actually want to use it, but it protected him. But he had so much. He could have been like really set in this mature world. But yet what did he do? He gave it all up and he went to the forest. Why? Even though he had everything, more than a millionaire, but he wanted more. I want more, more, more. So this is the nature of spiritual benefits. Spiritual things is that it's unlimited. It's eternal. The more you have, the more you want, the more you'll get, the more the better it is. In fact, we have to become greedy. We have to become eager like this. This is described as the price we have to pay to get Krishna, to get into the spiritual world. And we're learned throughout the Bhagavatam and through these Vedic literatures that the wealth of the world actually belongs to Krishna anyway. So everyone here in the mature world, it's their birthright to use everything properly as his maintenance. But if we take more than required, whether you're, no matter what nation you're with, a capitalist country or communist country, then you're considered to be a thief, and then you're punishable by the laws of nature. But the wealth of the world, it should be used for all living entities. And that's the plan of Mother Nature. Everyone has a right to utilize the wealth of Krishna. And this is the whole purpose of a spiritual society, is to learn the art of scientifically utilizing the property of the Lord without encroaching on another's rights. And then that's an ideal society. There's a nice verse from the Ishapanishad. Ishavasham idam sarvam yat kinchana jagat dyam jagat tena traktvena bunjitaha mad ma gridha kashaya swiddhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So the devotees, they actually know that this mature world is designed by the complete arrangement of the Lord, and it's for the fulfillment of all the necessities of living entities. They have enough without having to encroach on other people's rights. So Prabhupada says, this complete arrangement is and thus everyone may live peacefully according to the principle of plain living and high thinking. So one may become very enthusiastic to get more and more into the mature world. But when one becomes a devotee, he's told that you shouldn't become enthusiastic about material things. But it's not that you stop becoming enthusiastic. It's not that you stop becoming active. It's just that you're forbidden to become enthusiastic about materialistic activities. But you should be encouraged to become enthusiastic about spiritual achievements. And this is what is described in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. Very nice quote here. Enthusiasm is a symptom of the living entity. It cannot be stopped. It is just like a powerful engine. If you utilize it properly, it will give immense production. Therefore, enthusiasm should be purified. Instead of employing enthusiasm for attaining material goals, one should be enthusiastic about achieving the perfectional stage of devotional service. Indeed, enthusing his devotees in devotional service is the purpose for which Krishna descends to this material world. So Krishna comes in so many different forms to enthuse us to go back home, back to Godhead. He's given us these Vedic literatures, which is non-different than Krishna. He's given us the deity form of himself, which is non-different. You serve him and you become enthusiastic. And the devotees, to give us that association, it's very important. So Brahmananda was asking Prabhupada a question one time. And he said, what about the quality of chanting? How can we make it the best quality? So Prabhupada said, quality, you understand, first of all, come to quantity. So this is interesting. First quantity, then quality. We sometimes hear, oh, it's the quality of your chanting, but what about quantity? So because Prabhupada continues, without having quantity, how he'll understand the quality? You follow the instructions of your spiritual master, of the Shastra. That is your duty. It is not your position to understand quality. When the quality comes, there is no force. You will have a taste for chanting. You will desire at that time. Why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That is quality. So see, more. We want more. More is better. So that's quality. Now it is by force. You will not do it. Therefore, at least 16 rounds. But when you come to the quality, you will feel yourself. Why 16? Why not 16,000? That is quality, automatically. Just like Haridas Thakur was doing. He wasn't forced. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested. Now you're old enough, you can reduce. And he refused. No, up to the end of my life, I shall go on. That is quality. Have you got such tendency that you'll go on chanting and do nothing else? That is quality. Now you're forced to do it. Where is the question of quality? You're given a chance so that one day you may acquire quality. Quality is different. Atasakti. Asakti. Attachment. Just like Rupa Goswami asks, how shall I chant with one tongue? And how shall I hear with only two ears? Had it been millions of tongues and trillions of ears, then I could enjoy it. This is quality. Quality is not so cheap. Maybe after many births. But for the time being, you go on following the rules and regulations. Isn't that amazing? So this is the greed. So even Prabhupada says, if one is greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. Tatra lolyam ekalam mulam. That is the best path available. So just like now, devotees that are greedy, if you want to really become greedy, this is the Purushottama month. And as described, whatever you do is multiplied 16 million or 1,000 million times. So now is your chance. If you want more, you want more? More is better. So this is a chance to make some real heavy-duty advancement. There's a nice verse. Pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. Look at all the pious activity that Maharaj Ambarish had, and he just gave it away. Why? Because he had something more. It can be attained only by paying one price. That is, what does that mean? What does it mean? Yeah, intense greed to obtain it. If it's available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So this is the price. You must be greedy for Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique. And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. Isn't it when you want something in the mature world, you cry for it? Just like a child who wants something, he'll cry, right? To no end. So if one develops this lolium or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this lolium lalasa mai, or desire and great eagerness. So there's another question asked by one of Prabhupada's disciples, Vishnujan Swami at the time. He says, how do we render perfect service to Krishna? And this is what Prabhupada says here. By your anxiety, and then laughter, and then Hari Bol. If you're anxious to serve Krishna, that is the real asset. Krishna's unlimited. What service can we offer to him? And he has got unlimited servants also. What service he requires from you and me? He's perfect in himself. He doesn't require any service also. But if you're anxious to serve him, then he does not refuse. So you have to be anxious. You have to want. That is his mercy. That is his magnanimity. So the more you increase your anxiety to serve Krishna, the more it becomes perfect. He's unlimited. Your anxiety, you become unlimited. Isn't that your anxiety? You become unlimited. So there is competition. The more you serve Krishna, the more he accepts you, and the more he gives you intelligence. You see? So the spiritual world is unlimited. There is no end of service, and there is no end of accepting the service. It is not that. So eagerness. Tatra lolyam eka mulyam. So that's from a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Seattle. So how do we get this jnana, this knowledge? Do we get it by reading these books? Actually, I was listening to the memories of Brahmananda, Brahmananda's memorial from his brother Garga Muni, and he was talking about all the things that he did, you know, publishing his books. He was the first one that took charge of printing Prabhupada's books, you know, the Bhagavad Gita and like that. So Garga Muni was saying how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to publish these books for hearing, not for reading. And he's like, well, how do we do that? How do you publish books for hearing, not for reading? And so he explained that actually you can't just sit down and read these books. You have to read them out loud, just like we're doing in the Bhagavatam class. You must read out loud. It's very important. Actually, there's a gentleman from New York called the BBT, and he was saying, oh, I'm so glad I got a hold of somebody. I just got this Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I had this Bhagavad Gita, and then one day I just decided that I'm going to read this book out loud for 2 hours a day. And you know what happened when I started doing that? He said, I'm so amazed. You know, he was like, you could tell his voice was like choking up. I'm so grateful for you distributing these books, because now by reading these books, I realize that I'm not it. And I'm criticizing all these other people that they're rascals, and I'm realizing that I'm a rascal. I'm the demon. And this is helping me so much. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And he was just up and down thanking and telling me so many things. And I go, wow, reading the book for 2 hours out loud every day. Has anybody ever tried reading out loud these books? Isn't it great? So that's Prabhupada actually, when you read the books and he talks about hearing and reading, he does them together almost all the time. So hearing means reading. Reading means hearing. I mean, you can read, but it's always best if you can hear from devotees. If you read it out loud, Srila Prabhupada's books, you're hearing from Prabhupada. If you're hearing, attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class, you're tuning into the Bhagavatam class, you're hearing. You're hearing the reading. And if the devotees are repeating Krishna consciousness, it's not like they're coming up with new ideas. Nothing originates with us. We just have to repeat. Prabhupada says we should read these books to... what was that quote he says? So now you have our books. Very nicely gather thoughts. Then you can speak for hours without any difficulty. It requires practice. So read our books carefully, especially the Nectar Devotion. So gather the thoughts. So you gather your thoughts. What thoughts? These are the thoughts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's the highest form of thinking. It's Krishna's thinking. His thinking out loud. So if you read these out loud, then you actually get Krishna conscious. You get Krishna's thoughts, and you can share them. So there's a nice... we just had Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, and I was reading one of his summary or thoughts he had on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was talking very interestingly how we always like to read new things, you know, like, okay, we acquired this book. Yeah, there's a new book come out. Let's check it out and read it. So you just read it, and then you go to the next one, and you read it, and go to the next one. It's not that you just read to gather thoughts, I mean, to gather facts. And then it just, like, you retain it somehow. Just useless retention. But he says, thoughts are the means by which we attain our objects. That's interesting, isn't it? How you think is what you actually get, right? You're thinking all day about something. You're meditating on something. Even if you're worrying, that's a form of things. Like the things you worry about, you know, you're actually making it happen. You're afraid of some things. You're getting those objects. So he says here, students are like satellites. They should reflect whatever light they receive from the authors and not imprison the facts or thoughts. So this is very important that we read the Srimad Bhagavatam and we should reflect it. It's not that we come up with some other rumors or ideas or thoughts about this, but we actually just reflect it like a satellite. And this is how we spread it. The Bhagavatam is like the light, and we're like satellites. We could just reflect that to others in our preaching. So there's interesting where Prabhupada was saying, someone asked Prabhupada another question about rumors. And Prabhupada said, we should not take stock of any rumors which may come. That is not our process to act upon rumors. We hear from the authorized sources, and then our hearing is perfect. So this is a leader of the temple. He's giving him some advice on how he should do these things. So he says that you should know these things and avoid them, and instruct the other students there to stick to whatever's mentioned in our books and try to understand that subject matter from every angle of vision, without trying to adulterate by adding anything rumor. So when you adulterate these books, that's actually a rumor. You're creating rumors. And there's so many rumors now. You know, all the way from the Mayavad philosophy to, you know, Prabhupada said this. Or even us, someone was saying, talking with someone the other day, Prabhupada didn't say that. They would say, Prabhupada said this? Or yeah, where did he say that? You know, they make a rumor. But they also say, well, Prabhupada never said that. You know, how do you know? Did you read it? Where did he not say that? So this is our, Prabhupada says, our preaching must be based on the subject matter from our books and nothing outside of them. The actual fact is that worshiping deity and chanting the glories of the Lord are both within the nine processes of devotional service recommended by Rupa Goswami. Because chanting and hearing and remembering, there are six other recommended activities in devotional service. So just see, you can become perfect by just performing one of these activities. But Maharaj Ambarish was performing all nine. He was so greedy. And that wasn't enough. I want more. I want more. So Prabhupada says here, so what's the next step? So a person is hearing, so he wants to hear more. Only to spend his spare time reading books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is no longer enough. What's more than that? He wants more association, and not just with the books, but with people who understand the books and follow their instructions. You want more? You want to get more of Bhagavatam? You want to get more of these books? There's an amazing website called ISKCON Desire Tree, and you can listen to thousands of lectures on the Bhagavatam. They almost have all the lectures of the Bhagavatam on there. You can listen to all the classes given by different devotees, all the lectures given by Srila Prabhupada, everything in one place. There's where you can get more. You want more association? You can get it. Now in this age of technology, more is better. I got more right here. Entire Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Vedas, the links to all the different websites. It's not that Google is the super soul, but actually the super soul comes in and is appearing to us in all these different forms and giving us Krishna. So let's see what it says here. So he wants more association, and not just with the books, but with people who understand the books and follow the instructions. The Vedas explicitly say, unless one associates with devotees, one cannot develop love of God. One can achieve it on his own. Someone watching TV during class? Or playing games? So unless one develops, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. So someone was asking Gaur Govinda Swami some questions, and he was saying how they're asking about hearing. Do we need to hear? You know, do we need to read? He says, yes, hearing is more effective. Books will help you, but nevertheless, you have to hear. It is not that only by reading books you can have it. So, what time is it? 8:21. Time flies. So, I want to give more. But let's see where I'm at here. Is it okay? You want more? Or do you want to get prasad? Okay, so let's see here. So we know that reading transcendental literature can purify everyone, even atheists and paramahamsas. Still, scriptures emphasize the importance of hearing from devotees as a means for better understanding and putting into practice the written word. So actually, that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, that it's not that you just hear the word, but hearing means that you act. You actually do something. It means activity. It means you get some results. You begin to change things. You change yourself. You change others. You change the world. If for some valid reason one has no access to pure devotees, purification and perfection can be achieved solely by reading, provided one has Krishna's special grace. Or if no books are available, as in past ages or under extraordinary circumstances today, hearing from pure Vaishnavas can bestow all spiritual success. So you have everybody has access to hearing pure Vaishnavas by going to ISKCON Desire Tree. But now, when books and qualified Vaishnavas are both readily available, the combination of the two best guarantees one's spiritual success. Isn't that nice? So I'll just end with this one quote from the Nectar of Instruction. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. What is that disease? This jaundice disease is I want more and more material things. What does it cause? It causes you to turn all yellow. It causes everything to become bitter, you know, like a jaundice disease person. But if with great care and attention you take to Krishna consciousness, chant the holy names, then this ignorance will be completely destroyed. Just like a person who has jaundice takes sweet candy. If you take the sweet candy of the nectar of devotion, the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these transcendental literatures, the holy names, then you'll begin to gradually relish the sweet taste. And that's what Prabhupada says. He says, this Krishna conscious movement is being spread all over the world just to remedy this gross ignorance. People in general are being misled by blind leaders. The leaders of human society, the politicians, philosophers, and scientists are blind because they are not Krishna conscious. According to the Bhagavad Gita, because they are bereft of all factual knowledge due to their atheistic way of life. They're actually sinful rascals and are the lowest among men. So, we'll end with that. It's your Prabhupada statement. So, thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Would you like to repeat that in the mic so that people on the internet can hear you? Jai, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. What's your name?
Danvantari Das.
Danvantari.
I'm from England, from London.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
It's the first time to be here in Los Angeles.
Oh, great. Welcome. Hare Krishna.
I just came yesterday. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Jai.
One Prabhu was asking me, we were in conversation, you know, we went on Harinam yesterday, and I believe he joined us. When we came back to the temple, after having prasad, then, you know, we introduced each other. And we were having this conversation, and he was telling me that there are other scriptures that he knows where it is stated that also Lord Ramchandra is declared as Swayam Bhagwan. Now, I told him that, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam, what I know, what Srila Prabhupada says, that only Krishna is declared as Swayam Bhagwan. Yete chamsa kalapumsa Krishna sthus Bhagwan Swayam. And he was saying, no, also Lord Ramchandra is declared as Swayam Bhagwan. And then I said, I remember Prabhupada explaining in one of his purport that 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Lord Ramchandra, and the 3 names of Lord Ramchandra is equal to one name of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So I said, Prabhupada very clearly states in the scriptures, you know, that Krishna, only Krishna is declared, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, as Swayam Bhagwan, and all other forms are his expansion, like
yes.
Lord Ramachandra, Narsingadeva, Vamanadeva, Varahadeva, etc.
Yes.
So he was saying, but they are also quote from other scriptures that Lord Ramachandra is also declared as Swayam Bhagwan. And so we were, you know, kind of a little argument, not really argument, but you can say that. So I'd like to know from you, you know, what is your opinion on this? I mean, which scripture states that, 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Lord Ramchandra, and 3 names of Ramchandra is equal to one name of...
Prabhupada quotes that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you just read the chapter...
Is it from in Padma Puran or...?
Yeah, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, I believe, on the chapter of the incarnations of Krishna, it describes all the different incarnations, Ram, and all these different incarnations. And then it talks about Krishna, and that's where it mentions Swayam Bhagavan, right? So that's where it describes how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the others are his expansions. But we shouldn't minimize them, but yeah, they're Krishna. Krishna comes in different forms, different aspects. But there's one Supreme Source. Mm-hmm. He's the source of all them. That's Krishna.
Prabhupada also declares in Bhagavatam that also, yes, Lord Ramchandra is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, he is.
But he doesn't specifically state that he's Swayam Bhagwan.
Yes.
He only says Krishna is Swayam Bhagwan.
Yeah, so, yeah, Archida.
That is the original form of God. I said Swayam Bhagwan means the original form of God. And other forms like Ramchandra, Narsingadeva,
Yeah, you said.
All these expansions, so.
Sure. Yep, Archita would like to give some light on the subject matter. You want to give him the mic? Oh, he'll give it to you. Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, good question. Yeah.
Two aspects. First of all, we're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. What does Lord Brahma say? Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan. He says Rama and Adi and all the other expansions, they're all coming from Krishna. Krishna Swayam. Tell me about Paramak Pumanyo, Govinda Madhi Purusham. So Lord, this is Lord Brahma's opinion. You're going to argue with Lord Brahma? He's got four heads. You only got one. That's his opinion, that Krishna Swayam, that he is Swayam Bhagavan, and Rama, Adi, all the other incarnations are coming from Krishna. That's Lord Brahma's opinion. But at the same time, we don't disturb people in their faith. There's that story from the CC about Anupama, brother of Rupa and Sanatan. He was a Ram Bhakta. And no matter how, you know, Rupa, Sanatan, they're the topmost Radha Krishna worshippers. So they tried to get him to worship Radha Krishna as supreme, but he couldn't give in. So Lord Chaitanya actually praised him. He said, you're an actual devotee because you're fixed in your determination to worship this particular aspect, this particular incarnation. So we don't disturb people. If somebody's strongly attracted to Lord Ram, like Hanuman or Anupama or whomever, let them worship Lord Ram. There's no harm there. We're not saying that if you're not a Radha Krishna supreme worshipper, then you're useless. No. And any form of Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Ram, Sita Ram, whatever you're attracted to, that's okay.
Yeah.
So Lord Chaitanya established that in that particular pastime. He said, in spite of them trying to sway you to worship Radha Krishna, you're completely fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. I commend you. I commend you for your determination, your devotion. So if this person is attracted to Lord Ram, let him be attracted. That's okay. But Lord Brahma's opinion is Krishna Stu Bhagavan. He is the origin of everything.
Jai. Thank you, Archita. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. Grace to you, Prabhupada.